All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Coming in Hot is presented by Betano. The game starts now. Here are your hosts, Brent Wallace, Jason York, and Bobby Ryan.
Hey, everybody. Brent Wallace alongside former NHL players Jason York and Bobby Ryan. And before we begin, gentlemen, I just want to ask Yorkie, how was your birthday weekend?
Not bad. Actually, the best part of my weekend, my daughter got engaged yesterday, so that made the birthday weekend great. Besides that, though, I got my my usual homemade key lime pie every year. My wife, beautiful wife Laurel, makes me a nice key lime pie, which is my favorite, and got some golf in Friday. So, great little weekend.
Wow. Tough weekend, did you bring up Raphael? Did he show up for a little surprise?
Oh, man. That Raphael, the Mexican bartender, he would complete any birthday weekend. Actually, you know what I did? You'll relate to this, Bob. I don't know if you were ever a club thrower. So I get a call. I got video evidence.
Can't wait for this.
So I'm on my way to my friend's house. Saturday night, it's in Canada. He was having a little birthday get together for me. Nice bottle of Camus, Bob, by the way. I'll crack the bottle of Camus. So I get a call from my son. He's like, Dad, golfing in the rain, club slipped out of my hands, golf club stuck in a tree, brand new driver. So the golf course is on the way. This isn't stuck in a like any ordinary tree. It's 70 feet in the air, like 70 feet. So I get the superintendent over. Yeah. Yeah, we get ladders. We've got Christmas light extenders. 2 hours, couldn't get it down. Had to go back the next morning. I have video evidence of this. I'll get it up later. Pool, you know those pool extenders? We got two of those duct taped together. So we're basically got 60 feet of extensions, and we're up on a ladder picking away at this tree. And finally, after 20 minutes, the golf club comes down. It wasn't thrown. It was backswing, slippery, up into the top, very top branch of this tree. Crazy. Crazy.
That is a way better. Yeah, that's a way better weekend than I had.
Key lime pie and Camus. You can't.
Wally, I got no golf clubs. I got nothing. And I've been awake for about 12 minutes now. So that's it.
So it's not. So neither one of you, by the way, have read the Nerd Report, correct?
I read it this morning.
I did.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll see how this goes. And Yorkie,
there it is.
Is there, there's no video evidence that he didn't throw the club, by the way.
No video evidence. No. That he did, but I did, if you're a physics person, which I'm not, but I'll pretend to be, there's no way you could have thrown it this high. And from the tee box, because he's a lefty, you swing and the follow through, I could see how he would do it when the club, because the club can slip out of your hands when it's wet. I just don't know how it got high. Yeah. Like this is, I'm talking, this is like 100 feet in the air. I'm gonna send Alex a video right now. Well, you guys will be
amazed.
It's
like when a stick explodes.
Exactly.
All right. There was one time, I'm not a very good golfer. I don't know if you guys can pick that up or not, but I was in the woods and I played out, or I tried to, and it didn't go very well. So I hit my club and hit it against a tree. I bent it, but the way I bent it became my best club I had in my bag. I bent my 7-iron.
Really? I turned it into a 5-iron.
And it was just bent the proper way. I loved it ever since. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Just a hooded 5-iron.
That's how good
now. My
golf game is. So if we ever play, I will need to get like the club pro if there's a foursome for me, because there's no chance that I would beat you guys.
Yeah. My game's a mess right now. So you might.
Why?
Driver issues, man. I can't get off the tee right now.
I mean, what do you drive off the tee?
What's that?
What do you drive normally off the tee?
$275.
Pretty good.
Yeah, 270. Yeah, 270, 275. Yeah. Carry. That's a carry. Yeah.
Did you guys watch? Did you play Oakmont? I think Clark MacArthur used to be a member of Oakmont,
say,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Shitter's and, full. Yeah, me and the Grizz played there.
Right?
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. He lives on number 8, I think.
Did he go this weekend?
No. You know what? I sent 4 messages, never heard back. never will. Yeah. He's in
witness protection.
How pissed is the PGA right now? Hey, how pissed is the PGA right now? Koepka's coming up. Just give me that trophy.
They're not happy. Eh?
Like happy. of all the majors to win, take the one that signifies the PGA and hold up that trophy right there. And read the best part of it too, if you're a Koepka fan. He's going to have enough points to be on the Ryder Cup team.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to let him on the team, and they've already
said no choice.
So
what else? They got no
choice. Yeah. How about that? 2 tourneys. He's already got enough FedEx points. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Anyway, I watched golf all day yesterday, 7 hours.
Did you play that course when you went to see Clarkie?
Yeah, I did. So I drove out of the way, and Darlene was the name of the RV that we had for years there. We took Darlene over, played, and pulled it right into Clark MacArthur's driveway and played the next day. What a golf course, though. Man, it's incredible. Incredible golf course.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. They had the PGA there about 12 years ago, didn't they? I'm trying to remember.
Was that Keegan Bradley that won that?
I think
or,
so.
Or Jason Duffner, I think.
Yeah, beautiful course. I went up and watched it. That's a beautiful track. Outstanding.
It's a good looking. Yeah, it's a good golf course by far. Top 5.
All right,
for
let's
me.
Move on.
Okay.
You're not enjoying the golf talk, Wally?
No, I am. But
here's the video evidence. Look how far this pole extends. You can't. There's my brother-in-law, Mike. There's Brian. He's got the pole. Look at this thing. That's going up like.
Is that in your golf
what's
bag?
What's funny about this?
that's my ball. That's my ball retriever I carry. No, that's we had this. I had to go to my brother-in-law's. We had to get his 2 pool extenders, extend them totally, like 30 feet each, and then duct tape them together with sticks used as splints. It was crazy. But
you know the best part of this, Yorkie? I So I call Yorkie yesterday to ask about something, and he goes, and he's out of breath. So he's like, I'm outside. I'm working with my brother-in-law. Doesn't mention a thing about him trying to get a club out of a tree 70 feet high. I thought he was doing yard work.
This is yard work. Yeah,
I'm just going to Venmo you $4, bud. Just let it go.
Yeah. It became like we had the Mission Impossible music going. It's not about the money. It's like when it's there, you can see it. It's a challenge. Yeah. And at this stage in my life, I enjoy a good challenge. Not a lot going on.
God, it's a half stroke, man. Just drop one.
But it's a driver. It's his favorite club.
Oh yeah. I got a big match today, by the way. Big dinner match tonight. Yeah. We don't play for money. We only play for food. It's always for dinner.
Is it with your brother? Or is he busy signing contracts? No?
He's still in Arizona. I got a message at him. Like, what the hell's going on here? People need to know.
I'm just going to throw that out all show to see if I can get
gamble for dinner at Moxie's. Oh, man. Moxie's would be great right now.
They've changed the menu.
Good. Right. What? We'll talk about that later.
I used to, I've golfed with the chef of Moxie's, the executive chef, one time. We've stayed friends ever since.
You're not a chef at Moxie's here.
Well, you didn't go to that Moxie's tournament. You didn't go to that Moxie's tournament, did you?
No, they had to shut that down.
I heard about that.
It got out of control. Yeah. Yeah. Caused a couple of issues. All right. You know what? We're moving. I don't even have a segue. We're just moving on. We're going to go right to our partner reads, and then we're going to get into some perhaps front office positions. Hang on. Botano, I just want to say, is our show is always presented by our good friends at Botano. Go to botano.ca. Visit the website or download the app. Their state-of-the-art app is award-winning, the fastest, most user-friendly, and advanced betting app for your mobile or tablet. Have the amazing world of sports always with you at Botano. Hundreds of betting options for events. And try same-game parlays with BetBuilder. Also, live in-game betting and the most competitive odds on the market. Botano. The game starts now, and you can go check who the Stanley Cup favorite odds are at the moment, and you'd be so shocked that it's the two teams up 2-0 in the conference finals. Yorkie's next.
Okay. Favorite.
Oh, we got BEI.
I wanted Bobby to
BEI, Bonisher Excavating Services Contractor. Big thanks to our sponsors from day one, helping to shape the Ottawa Valley. Don't forget to slow down in traffic zones when planning your next project. Consider BEI on your aggregate supply needs. And that's it. Don't forget, what do they have going on Fridays, or is that just Renfrew?
The ice is out, so there's
no more hockey right now for the boys at BEI. Yeah, well,
no,
I gotta get on
planning
that
a big wedding.
Year. Oh, yeah, so, nice,
yeah,
nice.
So, the owner is busy, he doesn't have time for hockey right now.
Great job, Yorkie.
Thank you.
As always, this show held together loosely by Renfrew Pro, the original hockey tape. It's Pro Blade XT cloth hockey tape. It's hand terrible. It's moisture resistant. It helps with puck control. It's available at all major retailers as well as at renfrewpro.com. It's the one with the green core. Use what the pros use. Reminder that Free Tape Fridays, you can always tag them. Flip that thing, man. I need that.
Like, when's it coming?
Free Tape Friday. Yeah. Renfrew Pro, feel the game. Give them a follow at Renfrew Pro. Tag your teammates for unlimited entries, and then share to your story for 10 more bonus entries. And the one with the green core, Renfrew Pro.
Also, I'd like to point out, if you go on their website, you can get 10% off your first order. So give them a shout. Also, AG1, Athletic Greens, if you want to order AG1, go to their website, /coming in hot, and you will get a free gift when you sign up.
There you go.
So also, before, I just want to point out, thank you to all our partners. Without that, their support, we don't have a show. So thank you to all of them. Okay. Let's start with, do we do the sales stuff and get it out of the way? I'm tired of the sales stuff. However, Yorkie and Bobby, we know it's coming down, hopefully to an end. Perhaps this week we will find out who is going to be the guy, or I should say the group. Should we be surprised that it's, I think it's still Michael Andlauer. I know it doesn't matter what I think, or it matters what they do with the sale, but I still think it's Michael Andlauer, the guy that you never hear from, haven't heard a peep from, just the way Gary likes it.
Yeah. From day one, this is what I've heard about Michael Andlauer. If you're talking about because there's been so much talk about what's going to happen with advertising the team with the Ryan Reynolds angle and now with all the celebrities, this is what people have to remember. At the end of the day, in a Canadian market, it's about winning and it's about hockey first. And when I think of Michael Andlauer, he wants to buy the Ottawa Senators. And I'll tell you the number one reason, because he wants to win a Stanley Cup. And that's all he cares about. He wants to win a Stanley Cup. So if you're thinking of what's best for the Ottawa Senators, it's winning. And especially with the team they have right now. And I'm sure all the same groups are the same too. But you didn't really hear those reasons from the other groups. It was more about this is going to get done, the publicity, this can get done. But to me, man, like, I'll say this too about doing, because there's been so much talk about players, and Bob, maybe you can talk to this. Would you really want the cameras on 24/7 when you're going about your daily when you're going about your daily business in the NHL? There's a lot of stress, and people wouldn't think, oh, you're in the NHL, it's fun. Well, no, like it's, when things are going bad, and it's these stories are great and the storytelling. And but the thing is, there's always somebody that gets painted as a jackass. So imagine how nervous you are. What's going to happen when this story comes out? Am I going to be the one that looks like Brett? Like look at like how happy do you think Koepka was when Full Swing was finished? Like it made him look like he wasn't happy with that. And that's imagine you got a job to do. You're paid millions of dollars to do it. Now you got to worry about what you're going to look like on TV, like. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I'd want that.
I wouldn't. I just hope it's just get it done. Just so the players can play. That's basically it at this point, you know, just let the players
play.
The
point is, my point is, I just want to see a group come in that cares about winning and that wants to win a Stanley Cup. And I think all the groups do. But for me, that's first and foremost. And I think that's kind of been lost with all the celebrity talk and all this. The most important person to buy this team is someone that's going to want to win and someone that's going to want to make this franchise get a Stanley Cup. Because that's what the city wants. Number one, that's what the city wants. And I think that's been forgotten.
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
2 points. One, I'll get back to the 24/7 documentary. The first thing is, and you brought it up about winning, and I've seen this on Twitter and social media about why would you want Michael Andlauer, who owns part of the Montreal Canadiens and owns a Hamilton, actually, are they still in Hamilton? Yeah, Hamilton junior team. And I'm like, because he's a hockey guy. Do you think he's going to cheer for the Montreal Canadiens once he's sold and is the owner of the Ottawa Senators? Bobby Ryan doesn't cheer for the Anaheim Ducks when he's playing for the Ottawa Senators. I don't understand this nonsense. Why would we want a guy that's already owned a hockey team? Because he's going to sell it. And then he's going to buy the Ottawa Senators and want to win a Stanley Cup. You don't think he'd want to stick it to the Montreal Canadiens? Yeah. Here it is. I own this team, and now I'm the Stanley Cup champion.
Yeah,
I
just, and I'm sure
I don't
the same
understand
thing.
This nonsense.
And the same thing is, like, I know that's why he wants to buy the team, but I'm sure that's the same with the Kimmel Group. I'm sure they're from Toronto. They live in Toronto. But if they buy the Ottawa Senators, they're going to want the same thing. When, like, people want to win. People have money. They have money for a reason, because they're competitive people, and they've done well in life. It's not by luck. It's not by chance. But I think that people have to get back to thinking about that, like winning, and especially in this town. In this town, you have to win. You have to win, because if you don't, It's I don't care how nice your building is. After a couple of years, that shine rubs off, and you're not going to sell it out. You got to win in Ottawa. You really do.
It does. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
See, Yorkie, I think you just need to be competitive. There was a couple of years that Ottawa wasn't
in the conversation, though. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know.
Like in a playoff picture, well, this is all I think that the city wants.
Yes, yes. If you're a young team, if you're a young team, let's get moving on the up and up. But then if you come in and you spend to the cap, which this team's going to win. And it depends where expectations are. Like if expectations are high and you don't meet those expectations, people aren't going to be happy. But at the end of the day, I do agree with you. It's about effort. It's about showing you want to win. And that's going to be really cool for the city. Having an ownership group that from all reports is going to spend to the cap. That's going to be super exciting. That hasn't happened for a long time in this city.
Yep, I agree. Probably since I haven't looked back, but I feel like the 07-ish era was the last time they really got up to the cap. And to your point about cameras 24/7, here's a couple of things. One, no such thing as bad publicity, right? Everybody, once you people know about you, then they actually pay attention to you. But two, I know in the Toronto Maple Leaf series, they had say over what ended up in the all or nothing, I think it was. So they don't always paint you in a bad light. They try to protect you a little. And then thirdly is the cameras aren't on 24/7. It's very scripted of when they have time to be around you. And you have to agree to let them come to your house and all that stuff. So I'm just going to say it's a lot more scripted than 24/7.
For sure.
In the locker room, though, there would be cameras mounted in all the corners so they could see the entire locker room all the time. I will say that.
It depends how the team's doing. If things are going well and you're losing, like, you're not going to be happy about it. It's different. When you're winning, everyone's happy, except for the guys that are getting scratched and the guys on the fourth line. But for the most part, everyone's happy.
Yeah.
But hey, different story when you're losing, man.
Which is why I was shocked the Leafs did that, because the Leafs have nothing almost to gain unless they won. If they won the Stanley Cup and had that, it'd be fantastic. But then you just see the implosion. That's always seems to be the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, it's an interesting conversation because we all talk about if Ryan Reynolds bought the team, what he's done with Wrexham. That's a very low level soccer team that he helped build up. Like if you did something like this in the East Coast League, the guys would love it. Like talking about a journey in the coast and on the bus, and they would be because guys that are making whatever they make on the coast, like 50 grand, are now going to have a chance to parlay this to maybe something that can generate them income versus a guy in the NHL that's making 8 million. Oh, okay. Well, you're not sure. Like I tell you one thing, a guy like Paul Kariya, he ain't going to want the camera on him.
You imagine Joe Sakic
really, really sell it to Paul, wouldn't you?
But there's always a couple guys in your room that are gonna love it though. They're gonna be like, there's always those two guys that are just gonna love it and eat it up. You know who's gonna love it the most if it does happen is the wives. Like the wives will love it. Like how do we get on there? Hey, let's be honest. Let's be honest here.
No, I'm not starting on this one.
Anywho, I think it would be great for Brady Tkachuk for sure. It would have been.
It would.
And even Tim Stützle, I think you'd find out just how entertaining these guys could be. Imagine Zub, though. They just walk around. He doesn't say a word for.
Actually, you know
minutes.
What? You know what? I'd love to see it's like what the Drake was talking about. What does Zub think about? Like when we had Drake on, he's like, I just want to follow this guy home.
Just ice what he does
when he leaves. Just get the cam on him. All right. I changed my mind. I want it. I want to see Zub. What goes on behind the scenes.
See? Okay. Did you watch Welcome to Wrexham? Have you watched Sunderland Till I Die? Have you watched any of those?
I did. I loved it. I loved
it. Good?
Wrexham?
I thought it was amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Sunderland? Yeah,
Sunderland Till I Die was fantastic.
Yeah. Phenomenal,
And I just binge watched Welcome to Wrexham the other day. It was really well done. It got a little, awesome. I thought a little Hollywood at one point, but for the most part.
That's the one on Hulu, right?
Well, they had it on regular cable here. Whatever. That's why I watched it, but
Okay.
It really well done. You see the passion, and nobody really came off as a jackass. So I think you can still do it and put it all in the positive spin. Now, unless you start to really tank and everybody starts to get fired and all that stuff, but for the most part, it's right. Like all of a sudden, cameras it's complete carnage, and everybody's being traded out of town. Oh, anyway, Lord. I welcome it, and I think that I think it should be done anyway, right? I think it should just be done by the Ottawa Senators staff. Like, you can still do that. I am disappointed. One last thing about the sale.
Yeah,
I am disappointed that Ryan Reynolds aligned with a group and didn't wait, I think, till the sale went through to kind of join. But maybe I'm wrong, and I don't understand and I don't know what the inner workings were. I just wish he was still involved. And that's the only thing I feel disappointed about this process.
For him, though, don't you kind of have to? You have to align with somebody. Excuse me. You have to align with somebody at some point, right?
But everybody wants you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a free agent. Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know.
I think I think the report was that Remington offered him a significant stake in the team. So it was someone's going to do that for you. But who knows? It's not over yet. Like this until something's announced. Like you never know what could happen at the last hour of negotiation. Here, does he jump back in with a group? Like it's. You know one thing, the NHL still really wants him. They still really want him. It's just, where is he at right now? So we'll see. You'd have to think, though, this week is a very important week. And at least something's going to get announced.
God, I hope so. It's just getting out of control. pretty soon it'll be every celeb that wants to be involved. Anyway, just get it over with. But the one thing is, as we continue down this road, it's getting late to make changes at significant levels of this organization. That means whether it's GM, coach, any of that stuff. And so brings me to the point of the
Toronto's got nobody left in their front office. Shanny's coaching the NHL team. I know Keith's still there for now, but Shanny's pretty well the last man standing. He's fired everybody.
Very interesting times in Toronto. I don't want to spend time talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs, but it is an interesting thing to watch what just transpired between Kyle Dubas and Brendan Shanahan. Do we think that's how it played out? And here's what I think about the whole situation is, if you are the owner of a business and one of your key people is wavering on what he wants to do, do you not make the change for the betterment of the organization? Did Kyle Dubas just talk himself basically out of that job?
That's what I was going to say. He literally walked himself out of the job. Based on everything he said, he walked himself right out. Yeah. Do you feel any differently, Yorkie?
Something happened because I listened to Shanahan's whole, I'd be very interested to hear Kyle's, if he did a talk like Shanahan did, that scripted, that point to point, that detailed. It sounded like Shanny got pissed off when the agent came back for more money. Mm-hmm. Like I think that was the, like, hold on a second here. I wanted to extend, I wanted to do this, and now you're coming back to ask for more money. And I think that's where, all right, we're done. And I just think Kyle was being honest. Maybe taking a day or two before addressing the press. And I just think he got caught at a raw moment. And because I'm sure everybody feels that way, man. It's you just lose. The expectations were so high, and you show a little bit of that you're human. And then I wouldn't think he would get fired for that. I think it was a combination of things. Perhaps, I'm sure that was probably in Shanahan's mind that, hey, he's talking that it's affecting his family, and now the agents come back for more money. And I think when you added all those things up, Shanahan just said, I'm going to move on. But I really want to hear what Dubas has to say, because there's always two sides to the story.
I'm actually way more interested in what Spez has to say, because he walked in and I want to know what Spez is saying, you know, because you don't tender a resignation without. I don't know.
So for sure, here's where it's interesting. For sure, Kyle Dubas is going to be a general manager in the league, and him and Spez are going to land somewhere else. Like, they're going somewhere else as a package.
Yep.
I like what Kyle did at the deadline. Like, I'm on the record for saying, you got Ryan O'Reilly, you brought in Jake McCabe, you brought in Achiuri. I think the only thing that didn't work, the goaltending didn't work out. But Samsonov, you can't really blame Samsonov for the loss. I thought he was pretty good. Yeah. So I like Dubas, what he did. So I think Kyle is going to land somewhere sooner than later. And Spets is going with him.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I think did Spez tender and move on because he knows that he's going with Kyle somewhere else, or did he just not want to work in the organization? I'd be really interested to have that conversation more so than the GM conversation.
It sure appears though that if he's doing it that quickly, he's for sure showing his support for Dubas by doing that. He's like, you getting rid of Kyle? I don't agree. I'm out. You're standing by your guy, right?
Yeah. But is that your guy? I don't know. It's not the guy. It's not the guy I'd be hitching it to. That's just me.
Yeah, it looks that way. And I don't know Kyle. Yeah, so I'm just.
Certainly does. Yeah.
No. Well, there's a sense of loyalty from Spets for Dubas giving him the job, right? And I'm wondering, he's grown into that role based on coming into that organization when he signed him and all that stuff. So I think that there's that loyalty, but I think Bobby, you play with him, obviously. I think Spets is a very loyal person in general. He tries to always do, for me, he always tries to do the right thing. And that's what I think he's done, is I'm going to go with Kyle wherever we go and build this thing and see what it is. And I've met Kyle a few times briefly doing the former job, but I also know people that work in the organization, and he is extremely well-liked, very smart, very articulate. I don't know that anybody's ever said a bad word about Kyle Dubas that has worked for him, and he's very much looks after his employees. I think he's very well-respected. People can argue all the moves. Absolutely. Hey, listen, I wouldn't have taken the Matt Murray trade in a heartbeat. He thought he could for whatever reason. That obviously stings a little. And there's a few others, Peter Mrazek and all that stuff. But every GM makes mistakes, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, they certainly do. But I have never heard a bad word about him either. So, and I don't know him from Adam. I really don't. But I have never heard a bad word about him. And that's hard to do in the hockey world, eh?
Yeah. Yes, yeah. It's extremely
hard. People love him. Yeah. People absolutely love him.
So here's the question, gentlemen.
Hold on a second.
He's going to be Houston's first GM.
What a culture shock. What a culture shock that must have been. Lou Lamoriello out, Kyle Dubas in. Like, what's going on with
right?
Just total change.
And I will say that was a flex by Dubas, right? Dubas said either I get the GM job, it was promised like 2 years before or something, or I'm leaving. And so they felt they had to make that move.
For sure, for sure. Absolutely, Wally.
Okay, so would you guys want Kyle Dubas as the next general manager of the Ottawa Senators if the position was available?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
No. No. And for no other reason than, God, I'm trying to think, who's out there. So yeah, no, I wouldn't. I think they got the right guy for what it is right now, but I think in 2 years that'll change too.
Yeah.
For me anyway.
I'm all about people that aren't afraid to surround themselves with smart people. And I look around the league at the guys that are successful, and you know, you look at what Yzerman's doing in Detroit. I know they're not there yet, but he's got guys, and that, I know budget constraints are different, but whoever comes in here, and if they do make a change, I just want to see, and I know budget constraints for a reason, I want to see a beefed up hockey ops department. I want to see guys around the general manager that are advising, and what they're saying is being taken in. And that's how you win in this league. You win yeah, with a group of people. Everybody's throwing ideas at everybody, and you bounce ideas, and like there's no fear of somebody taking your job, because it's the old saying, people that want to be successful surround themselves usually with people that are smarter than them. And from what I've seen from mm-hmm. Dubas, I don't know Kyle Dubas. I heard some good things. I heard people like him. It doesn't matter if people like you or not, if you want to win in the NHL, because sometimes to win, you gotta piss people off. But I'm all about guys that surround themselves with really smart people. So would I mind Kyle Dubas? I wouldn't, because he appears to me to be a guy that surrounds himself. He brought in Spets. Spets is a smart hockey guy. A lot of GMs would think, do I really want to bring Jason Spets in? Because this guy might take my job. Because that happens a lot in the NHL. Guys, don't forget, you get paid a hell of a lot of money to be a general manager, a coach. Why do you think coaches always bring in guys they know? Because they're afraid of getting stabbed in the back, and it's no different with general managers. So I like the fact he brought, if Kyle did come in, I would like to see, you know, maybe it's Spezza, maybe it's Alfie, but a combined force of knowledge that's doing what's best for the team all the time. Ottawa's hockey ops department is so small right now. And I know there's different reasons for that, but it has to get beefed up and bulked up. Whoever it is, that has to happen for sure, from the top to the bottom. There needs to be a lot more pro scouts and a lot more people in the hockey ops department.
So I was going to say, you're not just actually hiring a GM, you're hiring a whole slew of people, right? Because you need the entire gauntlet of positions for the Sens right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And absolutely.
You need the right.
I want Jason Spezza in the organization. From what I've covered, and I've covered him since he was 15 years old, and we've chatted and whatever, people all say how smart he is as a hockey guy and how into this game he is. I want him on the staff. I don't know what it's going to take, but I would make a hard pitch for him in a heartbeat to be an Ottawa Senator.
Again. Well, for sure, new ownership is going to inject some money into the budget to beef up exactly what I'm talking about and what we're talking about. So it's going to be interesting. But like you said, time's ticking. Like, the draft's coming, and I'm sure the groups are moving. It's moving. All the groups are like, all right, come on, let's get this going. Like, because they know too. Like, they know there's decisions, and like Ottawa's got a few big decisions to make this summer that are going to need to be done sooner than later.
Yeah.
The only good news with the draft is they don't have a pick till the fourth round. So they can kind of skip this for now, but it's free agency and it's that stuff that they've got to figure out. And they're not going to have a guy in place. They're not going to be, well, I shouldn't say they're not going to, they have Pierre Dorion in place, but if the new owner comes in, I don't know, is there time to make the switch? Maybe, because if you look at perhaps getting or promoting Ryan Bonus or Trent Mann or going out and getting like Eric Tulski is a huge name out there from Carolina. Matthew Darche is another one from Tampa as assistant GM. Those guys already know the mark. Like, they know the league. Yeah. So maybe it's not big an adjustment. Yeah.
Here's why this offseason is, I think, is really important for the Ottawa Senators. If these playoffs have taught me anything or have reiterated what I already thought about the NHL, the third line is so important if you want to win in the NHL.
Right.
And Ottawa, you look at what's going on in these Stanley Cup playoffs, and I know Ottawa has to get there first, so making the playoffs is first and foremost, but it doesn't pay to put all your money in your top six. Like, right. Everyone talks about having a great top six and spending all this money. And Ottawa's got a big decision to make with DeBrincat this summer. And you watch what's going on right now. It's depth that wins in the playoffs. So I think that's a much bigger decision than people think. And just look at the Panthers. Look at Carolina. Look at a guy like Dadnoff right now for the Dallas Stars, what he's doing. I know Pete DeBoer must have some magic elixir that he knows Dadnoff likes, so he's getting them to play because he wasn't playing like this before. And how about Derek Stepan for Carolina? He wasn't playing like this before. So,
how good is Chandler Stephenson?
Where did he?
Dude, this guy's a player. He got traded for a fifth-round pick.
I watched him in the playoffs like a couple years ago. He was always on the outside. He didn't go to traffic. Now the guy's fearless. It has to be the stoner effect. The stoner effect too, though, right? Like, he's got stone. Like, that just goes to show you, guys that make 10 mil or whatever stoner makes, what's the most important thing? It's not scoring goals. It's making guys around you better. Like, stoner, you play with stone, you're going to be a star.
Just ask Zach Smith.
Yeah. Ask Colin White.
Right?
Did you play with him, Bob? Did you ever have Stoner on your line?
So they would never leave us together because both of us were right-handed guys, right? So they would always put one of us on the off wing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they'd be like, we are way too loaded on one line to do that. But we were good together. That guy's unbelievable, man. He's not, I shouldn't say that. I think Getzlaff would be the best person that I've ever played with, but Stoner would be right there. And not far off. Yeah. Yeah.
What? Okay. So I got my own thoughts on Stoner, but you having played with him, seen him, he's not a great skater. Like, what is it? Is it just his hockey sense in your opinion?
Yeah, he's just, he might be the most cerebral player that I've played with. Like, he's never below the puck. He's always above it. He always reloads. He just always, and I think there's a luck component to it when you're that good and the puck just finds you that many times. You're like, okay, is he just lucky? But he's not. He's just always in the right spot, man. He's just always above the puck. He's always reloading. He's always, and like, he doesn't have good hands. He doesn't have a good shot. There's nothing about Stoner that is sexy. There really isn't. There's not. He'll tell you the same thing, but he's the best player that I've ever played with that has a nose for the puck. He just finds it. And the puck finds him.
He just joined my golf club. So when I see him, whenever he comes home this summer, so Bob,
no,
says,
don't tell him.
Suck. You're a bad skater. But he still thinks you're unbelievable.
But yeah,
really,
he'll laugh.
You're making 9.5, so the joke's on us.
Yeah,
tax free.
Yeah,
I love him. Oh man, I love watching.
We'll bring him on and play that clip for him. It'd be the last time we see Mark. But Mark Stone also has like a 12-foot stick, so that helps too.
Hey, and then he's got. I remember I went and did a Sens Columbus game, and I was in, and I love looking at guys' sticks. I love seeing what guys use for their sticks. I actually got a Kucherov story about that in a sec. So I grabbed the knob that Stone has on the end of his stick. Like, it's this big, beefy, it looks like the thing, it looks like the thing
it looks
used
like a microphone.
Yeah, or the sticky stick you use to put the, to rub the, to make your stick sticky. But man, oh, yeah. I couldn't believe the size of this thing. I'm like, how the hell do you use it? I've always done it, and it's weird, but yeah, no. Hey, one time I was doing a game. This is a quick story here. This is why I don't like Kucherov. I was doing a game, and I go into Tampa's dressing room, and Stamkos is there with like 20 guys around. I'm just getting peppered with questions, and there for 20 minutes. I go over after. I go to Stammer. He's like, "Oh, hey, how you doing?" 5 minutes, great stuff. We chat, get some stuff for the broadcast. And then it's the year Kucherov was heating up. He was scoring all those goals on the one-timers. So I go over to him. I'm like, "Hey, Kuch." First of all, he doesn't even look up. He looks at the ground the whole time, not even looking up. So I'm like, "Kuch, just want to know what kind of stick you're using. Which I go, what's your flex?" Still won't look up at me. Then all of a sudden he grunts out 120 and laughs. I'm like, "Shut up." I go, "You don't use a 120 stick." Still no eye contact, still not talking. So then he's like, "Yeah," he says to me in his Russian accent, "Check my rack." So I said, "Off, oh, check you. My rack." I go out and I look, and it's like a 100. But what a dink! Like, there's one guy, Stamkos, talking, being like, "I know he's the captain," and it's one thing being an ex-player, and when I played, whenever somebody came into the room. No, even no matter if it's a reporter, just show a little respect. Don't be a dink. Mm-hmm. Okay, great player. But after I was in the bar talking to some of the ex the ex Tampa guys, they all said the same thing. But anyhow, they ended up winning the Stanley Cup, and he was the hero. So anyways,
that's funny. He's the reason I still don't have a toenail on my big toe.
Oh, did he chop you?
Yeah. Yeah, he blew a one-timer off of it, and I remember, you know how, like, they tell you not to untie your skate or whatever, because, like, just leave it. For whatever reason, you know how it gets better over time? I'm like, this is not getting better. Something's getting worse, and I remember we finally took my skate off at the end, and my toenail was about this big, and I still don't have one. Still have no big toe.
Never grew back.
Yeah.
So you know.
So every time I take my pants off, I'm like, "Damn it, Cooch!" I don't know him from that. Amazing. Yeah.
People are now going to take the video of every time I take my pants off. "Damn it, Cooch!" is going to be just a meme.
Damn it, Cooch!
And this is why you don't block shots, ERP.
Finally, Bobby Ryan and I have something in common: is I don't have toenail on my big toe either.
Why not?
No.
What happened to you? You got a good story?
I got crushed when I was working at Canadian Tire. They set the pallet down that had like a ton of water salt, and I pulled my shoe out, and it took off my two toenails at the top, and then I would never grow back right, so they had to permanently remove it. I have a great Polaroid of it.
It was the only broken bone. Sideways, right? For me, anyway.
Where the pallet came across it would grow with an indent. So I had to have after like 3 years, I had to have it removed.
So ever since you've been bitter, ever since you've been bitter.
It was probably before that. That didn't help.
Brent Bitterman.
I got 31 stitches and a broken toe from Canadian Tire and a missing toenail. That was how I, okay. Finally.
Oh, those are mine.
Yorkie's toes. Those are horrendous.
Oh my goodness. What is that?
The viewers.
Are you selling those pictures?
That's called that's the dode toe. I inherited those. I inherited those toes from my grandmother Dode. They're called the dode toe.
Oh my
God.
Jeez.
It skips a generation. That's those guys toes skip a generation.
Mile a minute.
Oh, my God. Aquaman.
He's great in the dolphin spin. All right. I just got word that last night's NHL game just ended, which is what it feels like in these playoffs, is that all four games in the conference finals have gone to overtime, including game one of the Panthers-Canes. Before I get to you guys playing in overtime games, is Matthew Tkachuk not making, I guess, the biggest flex of all of scoring the OT winner and then walking off the ice?
He tried his best, but he didn't walk it off. If you're going to walk it off, you have to commit to it. And he did not do that.
he wanted to make sure everybody was coming with
him. Zero credit for pointing. Yeah, I'm out. I'll tell you what.
Best line,
one of the best things that I've ever seen. Do you remember Sheldon Brookbank?
Yeah, I played with him.
Oh, no, Wade played with Wade.
I played with his bro.
Wade, okay. So Sheldon might be one of my favorite players of all time, and people. Just one of the best guys. But I'll never forget we played in him and then Sean Thornton, and I think it was Dan Carcillo during the lockout. We're all doing the thing, you know, charity, celebrity games, whatever. He scored a goal with 40 seconds left, did not wave to a single person, just went over, flipped the stick upside down, popped it down, and walked off the ice. It was the best. There was no waving. There was nothing. He just literally got off the ice. I thought it was the best celebration I've ever seen. It wasn't even close. A guy that scores goals or whatever, but for him, he scored a goal and just kept going. I thought it was amazing. Oh,
That's awesome. I loved Tkachuk's line though. After he got interviewed, he called it the old bus and 10, boys. Gotta take the bus and 10.
Yeah.
For people listening that don't understand that, everyone's always, when you get off the ice, they write on the board when the bus is leaving. So Tkachuk is saying it's leaving in 10 minutes. Let's go.
He caught his own shot there. I can appreciate it.
I would hear that all the room post game interviews. Yeah.
Bus and 10.
Long time like Crosby. Yeah. Bus and 10, Sid.
2:35. 2:35 in the morning, guys. Is that insane?
Oh, God. What?
2:35, because I think he said it in an interview. He's like, I'm really looking forward to catching the 2:35 bus or whatever it was. late night.
Just to remind, Wade Brookbank was in the Sens organization. He just never played for Ottawa. He played in Binghamton.
Do you know Wade, Bob?
No.
I've heard he's
an absolute beauty, though.
Oh, like just like great guy and great fighter, like really good fighter. Yeah. Awesome human being. Love that guy.
I think Sheldon is one of my favorite people of all time. I absolutely love that guy. Sheldon Brookbank is, I think he's coaching, isn't he?
I don't know.
I remember he was an assistant coach in Chicago, and I was skating off the ice, and I looked over one time, and I was like, what are you doing behind the bench? In no world should you be back there.
In Grand Rapids, Wade Brookbank of the AHL, before they moved to Binghamton, had 337 penalty minutes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he could throw them. Just a touch.
All right, so... I looked up both your playoff histories of to see how long you guys have played in overtime games. Bobby, you played in a triple overtime, and Yorkie, you played in a double OT. I don't want to bring up the double OT because it's a typical Buffalo win back on April 23rd, 1999. Miro Chatan ended it. And then Bobby, you played 32 minutes, triple overtime, a game against, now I don't remember you'll be able to tell me.
Detroit.
But Todd Marchand. Todd Marchand scored the winner. Okay. 32 minutes, your career high.
T-bone.
You do come here at the end and hop into the pile. It's the only video I could find of you.
Am I in the mix?
Right there.
Yeah,
there he is.
1-9.
Somebody get the bird in the air. You know what I remember? You know what I remember about this is that we flew home. I played 30 whatever minutes. Flew home that night. And I had to skate the next day. There's Brookbank. And I had to skate the next day. Me and the why? Healthy scratches.
Imagine.
Because Randy Carlisle douche.
Your skates were probably still wet, eh? The next morning, putting on wet skates.
It was disgusting, dude. And then he literally made me skate the next day with the black aces.
I don't understand. Were you the only regular?
Oh, by far the only regular. Yeah. Yeah. It was me.
I don't understand.
I think I was on the ice with like George Peros and the Black Aces and zero reason to be skating, but yeah, I skated 40 minutes. I'll never forget it. I skated 40 minutes on Monday.
How much, what year was that? What was the year again?
Look at Rob Niedermeyer. That's 2008, maybe. Rob Niedermeyer trying to say he tipped it.
I think it's 2009.
It was me.
May 3rd, 2009. By the way, just for people who wonder, because it went halfway through that period, Chris Pronger played 46-21, and then your line mates Perry 38-06 and Ryan Getzlaff 38-59. A lot of minutes logged. So what's it like?
32.
Yeah, 32.
Yeah.
So
skate the next day.
Oh boy. Skate it the next day. Flew home. 5-hour flight, and then he made me come in. Fucking guys.
So here's the thing too. Here's the thing you remember. We talked about this before. When you fly home from Anaheim, you land at LAX. Yeah. Then you take an hour bus ride to the Honda Center. Then you get in your. Then you got to unpack your. Or no, you trainers do that. But then you go to your house with 20-minute drive. So you tack on. So you're not in your bed till 4 a.m.
I was gonna say it was like it was like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning because that was a 5 o'clock game. And I still had to skate the next day. I'll never forget it, man. I will never forget that.
Did you ask? Why?
You never ask why, but I'll never forget the trainers were like handing me my gear and they're like, what is happening right now? to the point where they're like, okay, the Black Aces are over there and I'm the only one getting dressed in our actual physical locker room. And they're just looking around. This guy played 37 minutes.
Why did he hate you so much?
He doesn't hate you. He hates young guys.
46 shifts, 6 shots on goal, 1 assist. You were even.
It's a good night.
I don't understand.
And I skated the next day, Yorkie.
So we were talking about this before that we got on the show. That old school mentality in the game of it was always you work harder, work harder. If things aren't going well, work harder. And you just, when you're in a slump, practice harder, be on the ice longer. And that, I don't know when that changed. When did that change? Like 5? Well, obviously Guy Boucher, rest is a weapon. But now, did we have mandated time off back then? When did that come in?
No.
Where you had to get days off.
I was going to say that was the middle of my career. Yeah.
It was after the lockout in 2012-13.
I was going to say the only reason I'll never forget that because Randy Carlisle, you guys want 4 days off a week or 4 days off a month? you're going to give me 6 days. You're going to give me 6 actual days and then 7 is going to be, a full day off. But he used to absolutely abuse it, man. Just crush us. You guys want your 4 days off a month? Watch this.
Hey,
2016-17, it was brought in. The bye week.
So when I first came into the league, you used to be able to have training camp days last as long as the team wanted. And I remember I remember because you would go to the rink and you'd be on the ice in the morning, come back in the afternoon. And then the rule came in when you're only allowed at the rink for a maximum of 3 hours. So I remember guys on our team would have the watch. Guys would have the watch and okay, we're arriving at the rink right now. 3 hour timer's on. Guys would be watching it, and then practice would be going on. Like guys would be, hey, 3 hour rule, guys, we got to get out of here. But it was so funny because, like that,
they used to laugh. Like, yeah.
York, you'll laugh at this because it would be like you have practice and then you have a game, right? On the 3-hour day or whatever during camp. So you have practice, game, and then it would always say conditioning. And then in question marks, in quotation, scary, optional. And I was like, is anybody going to take the option? Because that's what they would put down because that was over 3 hours or whatever. But I'm like, I just wanted to be the one person that saw somebody walk off and say, oh, it's optional. if there was ever a team, it would have been like Scott Niedermeyer or whatever. But nobody ever walked off. I would love to have seen somebody just say, hey, 3 hours and 12 minutes, I'm out.
See you later. That's
the best gig.
See you later. Okay. Bye.
I want to know what you guys do in the intermissions to try and stay energized when the game is going that late. Because there's no food around, right? It's tough to get pizzas in and all that stuff. Like, what is going on? Especially, Bobby, you're sitting in the second intermission going into the third. It's getting late. You guys are tired. What's it like?
I remember that one in particular. I remember I was like, don't sit down. Because, like, once you sit down, you're kind of, you know, you mentally shift. That one, I remember I stood up. I was like, I have to just continuously stand. I have to continuously stand. I think I had like 2 or 3 apples and oranges or whatever. And that was, I remember being so physically hungry for that one. But it was like, do you have the pizza? I don't know if Yorkie, you did that or not. But I was like, I'm staying away from the pizza. Like, I want to come back in here starving. But I do remember game 7 of double overtime against the Penguins, Chris Schwartz was like, you need to, like, you know, Schwartz was basically feeding me pizza. He was like, you have to get this down. You have to get this down because you're playing a lot of minutes right now. So it's just all hit or miss. It's just based on how you feel that day or whatever. But I remember one trying to be hungry and then another one trying to be full, just based on the day, you know?
Yeah, I couldn't eat a pizza during a game. Couldn't do it. But I had a severe sweating problem. I was the guy.
You did?
After, like, oh my God. Like, I wore the, so I'd have to take my socks off after every period. And I could literally, when you take a towel and you wring it out and the water comes dripping out of your socks. Like, it was crazy.
Even,
oh my God. The gloves had to be dried like halfway through the period. Trainers were throwing gloves back to me. They're too wet. But my skates, especially when these weren't even overtime games, when I was playing in Anaheim, I had to get holes drilled in the bottom of my skates so the water could come out. I would change my skates every period, go to my backup pair, go to the other pair. Because that rink was hot, man. The Honda Center is hot. Ice is terrible.
Always.
And I just remember, like, I lost 13 pounds one night playing in there. I came in after the game and I was so tired. Like, you know, when you're dehydrated, your ears are blocked, you can't hear. And I was stupid too. I was one of those guys that only drank water. I was only drank water because I thought the sugars and the Gatorade would like make you, I don't know, slow you down. And the trainer, oh, you got to have this. You got to have this. No, I don't want the sugar. But now you need the sugar, you need it, but no wonder I was losing 13 pounds a game. Yeah, I started the game at like $1.95 or something. I finished like in the 180s. It was crazy, like nuts.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I never had that problem, guys.
Do you know what the most
calories during the game?
hey, some of the chubby guys are like, how the hell am I gaining weight? Because you'd have to weigh in sometimes. Like, guys are gaining a pound after the game. Like, oh, wow. Man.
Yeah. I played for Carlisle. We used to have to weigh in every single day. Every single day.
So dumb. My record's 14 pounds, Wally. 14 pounds in a game I lost.
Wow.
I heard Bobrovsky lost 19 in that one of those double overtime games he played in. I heard it was like close to 19 pounds. Yeah. Like, I heard they were getting concerned about him.
Wow.
What were you going to ask me?
For both of you, like, when it's into double overtime, triple overtime, Do you feel it on the ice, or does the energy level still sustain you?
Hey, Yorkie, you can actually attest to this, because I remember, like, I actually remember that game in particular. I remember going out there and you're like, just call it a 50-50 shift. Just trade a chance, give a chance, and just get out of there. Like, just whatever, you know, get a chance, go the other end, give one up and get off. Someone's got to give.
I just wanted my gear to be dry. I'm like, slippery gloves. Just don't screw up this pass. I'm like taking a stride and my socks are sloppy inside my skates. I was all about staying dry. That was my main concern.
I remember lining up next to Pavel, and I'm like, Pav, one of us has to get this done, buddy.
What did he say? Did he just grunt at you?
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Bobby.
So, hey, Z, Zetterberg, hey, Z, just, you know, you get one or I'll get one. Just somebody's got to get it done here so we can all go home.
Yorkie, did you do something to your skates? Due to your issue of profusely sweating?
Yes, I told you. I had to get the trainers drilled holes in the bottom of my CCM, whatever, tacks, so the water could funnel out through the holes.
That's unreal.
It was crazy. I've never heard that before. It was crazy. My skates, the one, we played one game in Anaheim, and I put my skate over after the game, and water was coming out. It was crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
You should seek medical attention.
And I had the heavy, and I used the heavy ICM blades too. Like, those are heavy to begin with. Like, just big lead feet. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Last question before we go: does either Dallas or Carolina come back in this series? In their series, I should say.
I don't know, Yorkie. Not to me. No.
Yeah, I think Florida's a done deal. Dallas deserved to win. They should have won that last game. I thought Vegas only had 10 shots through 2.5 periods. I thought Dallas got a little unlucky. It's pretty crazy too, because you'd think in these tight, low scoring games that they'd have the advantage with Ottinger. But Vegas is getting unreal goaltending by their third or fourth string goalie that they've got in there right now. Like, it's not so
anymore. I don't know. Yeah, no idea anymore.
I would say if one team could do it, probably Dallas. They haven't lost at home yet, right? That's the one difference. Like, you still haven't lost a series till you've lost at home. So I'll give Dallas a chance, a slight chance. But Carolina's lost both at home. They're done.
Yeah.
And Matthew Tkachuk's on a mission. He's on a goddamn mission right now. Bennett. Yeah. Like,
it's about how Conn Smythe, man.
Right now, if I'm a GM, I'm like, how do I get a Sam Bennett on my team? Like, this guy prototypical playoff player, like running guys over. He's not afraid. Just friggin' looks like he's just do whatever it takes.
Yeah. I think if I'm a GM, I'm trying to get Carter Verhaeghe for 1.5.
Oh, hey.
Yeah,
how good is he
right there? 1.5 or whatever it is. He's going to make $8 million next year.
How clutch is that guy?
Unbelievable, unbelievable. And like, we talk about Drake Batherson and, you know, the way that he makes plays in tight, but Carter Verhaeghe might be the best guy in the league for $1.5 million.
Hey, Bob, and you know what I love about him? Because we talk about all this time in the playoffs, there's no space. If you're a perimeter player and you do everything on the outside, you ain't scoring in the playoffs. Verhaeghe is like Gumby. He's in the corner. He's getting squished. Somehow he like gets out of it. Puck's still on his stick. Somehow he gets a shot and somehow it goes in.
He's the worm, like, man. He just finds a way. Yeah.
He contorts his body how to get away from checks and stuff, but. He's
talk about,
man,
this too.
Like, he's just
fuck. How good is Anthony Duclair right now?
Oh, so fast,
man! Unbelievable the jump this guy has right now. Yeah, so
Yeah.
He was a scratch. I like him in round one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's one of their best players.
That just sent that message, right? Like, hey.
Yeah.
Because they weren't, I don't remember Florida playing great. Forgive me. Early on in that series when they scratched him, it'd be like, yeah, he wasn't playing very well. And then they put him back in and he's been very good. But Carter Verhaeghe, for those who don't know, signed as a free agent by Florida 3 years ago. He was out of a contract.
2 years, 1.5 a year, I think, right?
Yeah.
He's so good.
And then he went on to score 18 goals in 43 games. And it was 24 in last, or this year, 42 goals.
When did go ahead.
Tyler Johnson, who's, you know, one of my close personal friends, was like, watch this guy. He's going to light it up.
Really?
Because he was on Tampa Bay's fourth line.
Yeah. Yep.
When they won. Yeah. I don't know.
I didn't know he's
going to make $8 million next year.
I didn't know you and Tyler Johnson were tight. Where does that relationship stem from?
Gazelle Ranch, Idaho.
Oh, okay. Is he still there?
He's still there. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, one of my closest friends.
Yeah, what a player he was, on that triplet line with Kucherov.
Yeah, they were good.
And Palat.
That was the year they didn't win, right? It was him and was it Pally?
Palat, yeah. Yeah, the triplets.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. We'll get Tyler on.
Yeah, hell of a player.
Only if he sheds light on your life.
All right. We're not going to book Tyler. Like, yeah. Yeah. He's seen a couple good ones.
Hey, Wally, by the way, didn't we discuss the Florida Panthers, like when we were talking about which team's going to make the playoffs and who to watch out for? Like, watch out if this team's getting in. And then, yes. Who was that? Was that me?
It was you.
It was probably Bobby. Wally doesn't want to acknowledge that. Alex, do we have the round three Botano board to put up? I'll just make a point.
Who was talking about it 3 months ago?
You were.
Okay, but somebody didn't pick them in round three.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter.
It's 4-0, 4-4. My goodness.
The playoffs is pure bullshit luck. It's luck.
I see. So you went from the smartest man in hockey to pure bullshit luck is what you're now saying.
No, it's all about forecast. What's up?
Do you guys think that are the Cats going to win the Cup?
Fuck, sure looks like it.
The Cats might win the Cup, boys.
Oh, God.
I know.
Hey, remember playing in that not long ago, that league in the middle of, sorry, that team that has a what's the name of Florida's rink? It's like named after a car rental place.
Sunrise.
What?
No.
It's in Sunrise.
Was it
used to be Enterprise.
BB&T.
It used to be.
It wasn't long ago that you were going in there and you could hear a
Florida Live, FLA Live
in a game. Like, that was the worst place to go play. No atmosphere, no buzz. You go to a game there now, it is rocking. I went to a playoff game there last year. One of the best atmospheres I've been in for a rink. I brought my two boys to one of the games in the playoffs. I'm like, holy shit, is this really Florida? And if they win the Cup, like, man, I think it's great for the league that this is going on.
I played in the least attended game in NHL history. It was Halloween there, Yorkie, probably 5 years ago. I'll never forget it. It was a Monday night or a Tuesday night, and I was sitting around, and we're, you know, in the second period, and you get the TV timeout, and everything's buzzing, and I go, what the fuck are we doing here? Somebody owes me a couple bucks just for being in this game right now. But it was the least attended game of all time. I'll never forget because Thomas Chabot skated over and goes, this is horrible. This is not the NHL. And it was all snowbirds too, right? It was all snowbirds, but it was probably all Sens fans. Might have been 4,000 people there.
It's crazy. And that wasn't long ago.
No, it was only 3-4 years ago.
That's crazy. Yeah, I was Yeah, I was there last year in the playoffs, and my boys just had a riot. Like, it was loud. I know it was the playoffs, and I know people come to the playoffs, but they're going to get some huge traction from this for years to come. Like, it's good to see.
Did you play that
game? You find it, Wally?
No. I don't have it. Anyway, unless they moved Halloween. I don't have a 11.
It was close
31.
To Halloween. It might not have been on the 31st, but it was.
There's an 11-28, 2014, but that's got a, well, you know what? Oh, here's the problem, is that they would announce the ticket sold or whatever, right? So not necessarily people in the stands. It says 9,700, and I'm going to guess it's probably about three or four. Yeah. All right, gentlemen. It's perfect attendance for us today. It was a sellout, so congratulations on that. So I appreciate you guys both being here. So we will see you Thursday, if you will. Enjoy your golf this afternoon, Bobby. I hope you can fix the driver, okay?
We'll get it figured out.
See you, boys.
Thanks, boy.
Straight down the middle, gentlemen. Take care.
See ya.
Coming in Hot is brought to you by Botano.ca. Please hit that like button and subscribe to our channel to never miss an episode.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.